Shavua Tov, everybody. Tonight's class is dedicated in memory of our beloved daughter, Yehudis Nechama Bas Sana Chaim and Rachel, by her parents, Mr. and Mrs. Borenstein, their children, and the entire family. We always need some sponsors, and we would appreciate it if you'd call 375-1023, ask for Rico, and get in your dedication and keep the tapes and CDs coming. That's 375-1023 in Brooklyn, area 718.
Ma shimu'a shama' uba. What did you draw here? All of a sudden, uba. He came. Pasuk tells us Yitzhak Mitzrayim. But Rashi tells us, based on the Gemara and Zevachim, that he heard about Kiryat Yamsuf and Melchemet Amalek. He heard about these two facts called Kiryat Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, and he heard about Melchemet Amalek. So a very interesting perush. Because in the Pasuk it says, Kol Asher Asa Hashem Paro Mitzrayim. What he did. So why does Rashi go in specifically for that? So he says, very interesting perush. It says, Vaybake'u hamayim. By Kiryat Yamsuf it says, and the waters split. Vaybake'u hamayim. It doesn't say, Vaybaka hayam. It doesn't say the sea split. It says the waters split in plural. So from there the Midrash brings, that at that moment that the sea was splitting, all the waters on earth split. In other words, someone was sitting in the middle of their bathtub. The water was now on the right and left, no water under them. If somebody was sitting by a lake fishing, if his fishing rod was near the bank, it was okay. But if it was right down the middle, he was in trouble because the lake split. It says all the waters in the world split. That was a big ness. So the question asked by the books is, why did Hashem have to make such a ness? If his object is to save Bnei Yisrael, if his object is v'yaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo, give emunah to the people, what do they care that in Australia some lake split, or in Shanghai somebody's drinking a glass of water and it's split in half? In other words, it seems to be on the surface a nes that's not necessary, because it doesn't increase the purpose of what the nes was for. Not only that, it says v'yahalosh Yehoshua by Amalek. It doesn't say he killed them. It doesn't say he wiped them out. It says he weakened them. I'll tell you an amazing thing about the war with Amalek. As you know, one of the problems Shaul HaMelech had was he didn't kill all the people of Amalek. Right? He didn't kill all the people. And he was punished for it. The kingdom was taken away. And one of the things he did, by Achmol HaLatzon, he had mercy on the sheep. And the Midrash tells us that the people of Amalek were very good in magic. And to save themselves, they turned themselves into sheep. So when he didn't slaughter the sheep, he actually gave life to Amalek because they were able to escape. Well, there's a Da'at Zekenim in Ba'aliyat Tosafot, one of the Mefarshim that's brought in the Chumash, Mikraot Gedolot, brings another point. It says the people of Amalek were so expert in their magic and their astrology and their control of the nature that they were able to know who could not die on the day of that war because of what's in the stars, and that's specifically who they picked to go fight the Jews. And that's why it says Vayahalosh Yehoshua. He didn't destroy them totally. He was only able to weaken them. What did he do? He cut off an arm, he cut off a leg, but he wasn't able to kill them because they weren't destined to die. What happened with these people? They ran away. So now, I gave you 2 points. Why did the water split all over the world? And why is it, by Yahalosh Yehoshua, how does this help us answer our question of why did our friend Yitro come now that he heard these two things more than anything else? Dam didn't make him come. Sephardah didn't make him come. Siat Mitzrayim Akad Bechorot didn't make him come. These two things made him. And you can write a book on the answer to that question, but just this answer. Mashal. A man is rich. He has a son. He takes some capital. A lot of us wish we had the rich uncle or the rich father to put us in business, because you know how hard it is to get capital. So he gives him some capital, and he tells him, I want you to go into business. What does the boy do? He finds a product, he sets up an office, and the next thing he has to do, advertise. He's a new guy on the block. If it's children's wear, there's 100 guys doing it before him. If it's fast food, there's 1,000 guys doing it before him. If he's retail, there's Walmart. So whatever you're in, there's the old timers that are in the business. So the new guy on the block has to advertise. But if someone is an established merchant, puts up a sign, established 1898, established 1952, and he starts selling. He's a known guy. He's a known quantity. Another location. But he doesn't have to advertise that much because he's known. When Hashem went before Paro, through Moshe, and he said, let my people go, Paro's answer was, Mi Hashem Asher Ishma Bekolo. Who is this? I looked in the book of Avodah Zarah, the directory. He looked online. Yellow pages. He wasn't listed. He looked white pages, yellow pages, business directory. He looked. He got all kinds of Avodah Zarahs. He can't find them. Mi Hashem Asher Ishma Bekolo. With Yitziat Mitzrayim, Hashem opened new business. He established himself. But now, he has to advertise. Because the world has to know Borei Olam revealed himself in Mitzrayim. Says the Shah of Bat Rabim, he says, beautiful comment he makes, I read it to you. He says, V'halo ha'itonim lo ayu adayim az ba'olam. At that time, there were no newspapers. Ki melechet ha'defus lo nodazo adayim ba'olam. There was no printing presses. V'hare medina achat. In one country, lo yada'a me'anashami acheret. If there was a punishment or a plague in one country, we heard within minutes, there was an earthquake in Mexico the other day, we heard minutes as it was happening, we knew. In those days, earthquake, did you feel it? You didn't feel it. So unless somebody came from Mexico, we ain't going to hear about it for weeks or months. So Hashem said, I want to reveal myself to the world. You know what he did? When he made Kiryat Yam Suf, all the waters in the world split. So without television, without internet, they all said, Mayomi Yomayim, Manishtana Laila Azeh, how come all of a sudden all the water is splitting? The word went out, ah, Borei Olam is saving the Jews, splitting the sea. And then Amalek, what happened to all these Amaleki guys who escaped? They escaped the war. But one guy's walking around without an arm, one guy's walking around a leg, one guy's walking around with his head, cutting his shoulder. And when he gets to the place he escaped to, one guy went to Australia, one guy went to China, one guy went to India, one guy went to Brooklyn. When they get there, they say, oh, well, what happened? Oh, you don't know. We attacked the Yehudim, and Yoshua came, and every time Moshe lifted his hands, we thought we had to run away. So he spread the word. Borei Olam is in the world now. And I've chosen this people as my people. And I've taken them out of Mitzrayim. Now Yitro heard. When the Amalek guy came to Midian, and when the water split in Midian, my son-in-law went, he was successful, and Borei Olam has revealed himself in the world. Ma shemu'a shama uba. Sure, maybe he heard about some other things, secondhand, whatnot. But when he saw this, he realized Hashem has revealed himself, ba. It prompted him to move and make complete teshuvah and make gerut and become a Yehudi. His teshuvah was so strong that his children, grandchildren, ended up sitting in the Shkat HaGazit. They were members of the Sanhedrin, the high Jewish court, the greatest Talmidei Chachamim in the country. Sitting on the Sanhedrin, and children that came from Yitro, through his teshuvah amitit, were able to go there. Now, that was the derasha I just wanted to get in, by the way. But let's look for a minute. There was a great mashgiach from Lakewood. His name was Rav Nosson Vachmalko. This rabbi was in our midst. He visited us in Deal several times. Past the age of 90, which was only in the last 10 years. He passed away 2 years ago. In the last 10 years, he decided there should be a kollel in every city in America where there are Yehudim. And he made a project called Kollel America. And he himself started traveling around the country to seed these projects, to go and get them started in each place. He would go, he would set up the place, flying around all over the country, 90 plus years old. Great man, but a great Baal Torah, because he was the Mashkiach, the spiritual leader of all the students in Lakewood, Bet Midrash Gavoah, for many, many years. When he first went to yeshiva in Europe, he visited the Chafetz Chaim, live. He says, he brought out some of his shmuzim. And he says, Mashimua Shana Alba, and he brings the famous Rashi that he heard Kiryat Yamsuf and Milchemet Amalek. He heard a story from a great rabbi called Israel Chaim Kaplan, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And what he heard was a story about you, a dibuk. You know what a dibuk is? Dibuk is a lost neshama, a spirit that enters the body of somebody who is alive. We had an incident of a dibuk incident, I think 2-3 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, and the Kubalim did the whole, and there's a process used to get the dibuk out of the body and save the person. It talks through the body and you hear the voice of it. You see a lady talking like a man. It's amazing. There's many incidents of these recorded. Now, one of the Chafetz Chaim students was Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hashem Yikam Dano. He was killed in the Holocaust. And at the time that there was a dibuk, this Rabbi Elchanan was able to get it out. And one of the men who ended up eventually to be a mashkiach in Mir, Rabbeinu Yerucham, he was in the yeshiva in Radin, Poland at the time. And he said, you know, everybody's amazed when they see a neshama speaking from Shamayim. He says, but what amazes me is that this can happen and people don't change. And his point was that very often something miraculous or something obviously from Shamayim, where your day-to-day life, everything's from Shamayim. The Gemara says a person doesn't stub their toe or bang their finger. Every piece of grass has an angel that comes down and commands it to grow. Everything. But we don't see it because, you know, nature covers up. Hateva is the Gematria Elohim. Hashem is nature, but we don't see it because they say, you know what nature is? It's a regular miracle. Meaning it happens every day, so it's regular. But it's still a miracle. The fact that a baby's born, that wheat grows, that water satisfies thirst, all miracles, but the body works. But since it happens every day, it's a miracle that's regular, we call it nature. But when there's a miracle, where we see a neshama coming and talking through the body of a person, and the mukubalim come, or the rabbis of Torah come, and they're able to exercise this spirit from the person, and nobody changes. He says, I can't understand that. In fact, this Rabbeinu Yerucham, who became the Mashkiach, you know, they talked to the Dibbuk. Rabbeinu Yerucham spoke to the Dibbuk. And he told the Dibbuk, I have a question for you. He says, you know, in Gemara Eruvin, it says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rish Lakish said, Rishaim, the wicked people, Afilu al pitchosh Gehinnam. Even when they're on the doorway of Gehinnam, which means they can probably see inside what's going on, Enam chozim teshuva. They don't make teshuva. And he says, I can't understand. How could it be they see the punishment destined them, and as we would say in downtown Brooklyn, and they don't chicken out and make teshuva out of fear? So he asked the Dubuk to explain this phenomenon to him. And the Dubuk answered, Ken hu hadavar. That's the way it is. The power of evil, the power of the Yetzer Hara is so strong that people can ignore a miracle and people can ignore a direct message from Hashem. It's unbelievable that people can go. I'll tell you one that comes from, that's not in this sefer. Yarovam ben Nevat was called Ish Mashchit. Yarovam ben Nevat was in the time immediately following Shlomo HaMelech. After Shlomo HaMelech died, Rehavam, his son, became the king. Now, as you probably know, in the times of Shlomo, everything for the Jews was unbelievably good. Because people from all over the world respected the wisdom of Shlomo. Everybody came to visit him. And they brought tributes to him. Taxes were low and business was good. Which is, you know, amazing. Everything was good for the Jews. In fact, Gerut, conversion was forbidden because there was no test. Everybody wanted to be a Yehudi at that time. When Shlomo died, of course, everything dropped a notch. So the people came to his son Rehavam, and they said, you have to lower the taxes. Things aren't like before. It's hard times. Rehavam asked the Zekenim, the wise men, and they said, the people are right. You should lower the taxes. But before he did any legal action, he asked his friends, the younger people, and they said, come on, the people are like retailers. No matter what it is, they complain. They complain and complain and complain. Don't listen. Keep the taxes the same. Raise the taxes because business is worth. Do what you want, but don't give in to them. You have to be a melech. Yarovam ben Nevat, the Rasha, saw the opportunity, the political opportunity, to get people to join him and make him king. So although he wasn't from the house of David, he made a revolution. And the people of 10 tribes went with him, and only 2 tribes were left in the area of the south where the Beit HaMikdash was. So you had Yehuda and Binyamin, the house of David and Binyamin in the south. You had the other 10 tribes in the north. And it was called Mamlechet Yisrael. He got an idea. You know, we have a problem. If the people go to the Beit HaMikdash 3 times a year in Yerushalayim, they're going to see those people, they're going to be influenced from them, they may revolt and throw me out. So he came up with a plan. He made his own Beit HaMikdash. He made a Mikdash Lahavdil in the south, and he said, you know, the people in Golan Heights, why should they come all this way? He made a convenient one near Lebanon, in the north. And he put a temple, and he put Avodah Zarah there, and he told the people, don't go to Yerushalayim anymore, go there. So he's called Chote, a sinner, Umachatir Tarabim, and he makes others sin, Ish Mashchit. Well, one day, he got the bright idea, that he's going to do the Avodah of the Kohen. He's going to make the offering. So he goes to the Mizbeach in his temple, and he starts to slaughter the animal. And the prophet Iddo HaNavi, his name is Iddo, E-D-D-O, I guess. Iddo HaNavi comes. And he tells him, Hashem is angry with you. You better stop. And as he reached to do the Shechita, he got a stroke and his arm froze. So he turns to Iddo. Watch the reshut of the man and the stubbornness. He tells him, you better pray to your God and make me better, I'll kill you. Ido says, you make teshuvah, I'm going to pray to Hashem, I'm going to make you better. He prayed, he made him better, and he went back to do the Shechita again. So we see a person can see a miracle and ignore it. So he says, Yitro realized the Koach Ra, He realized the koach hara, the power of it, and the strength of it from Amalek. How could Amalek come after Kiryat Yam Suf and attack the Jews? Didn't they see the downfall of the most powerful nation on earth, Egypt, destroyed to smithereens? Then they woke up one day, look at the koach hara. They decided to chase again after what they went through. The Makot were 1 year of devastation. Could you imagine every month a different natural disaster for a year? On cue, predicted by Moshe, happens. They tell him, stop it. It stops on cue. And a year later, they finally say, Haji, I give up, go. And 3 days, they went. 3 days till they came back. On the 7th day, 6 days later, they're chasing them again. Look at the koach of the Ra. Look at the koach of the Yetzer. Yitro saw this. He said, you know, now I understand that if I'm going to live a life that's going to be successful, it cannot be without Torah. I have to go with the Jews. Maybe he didn't hear, but he certainly learned later. Parati Yetzara, parati lo Torah tevali. I created Yetzara, says Hashem, I created Torah tevali. I created the remedy. I created the disease, and I created the remedy. Who's saying it? The one who created. You know, it's amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, calls the Yetzara Ra. The Gemara tells us, you know how bad the Yetzara is? The one who created it calls him Ra. That's how bad he is. He's so bad that the one who created him calls him Ra. And Moshe Rabbeinu, what does it say? Shene Emar? Ki leb Yetzara Adam Rak Ra kol hayom. And Bereshit, I see that the nature of the person is bad all day. While he's thinking bad, he's thinking ready the next thing. Moshe Rabbeinu said, he's called Arel. Arel is an uncircumcised person, which of course is not permitted to eat the Korban Pesach. It's a certain level of Tum'ah built into the person when they're Arel. As it says in Emar, Umaltem Olat Livavchem. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, when you make Teshuvah, you'll make Milah, Brit Milah, on the Ola, the Tum'tum, that's blocking your heart from being a good Jew. The book says, so why did Moshe change it? Borei Olam calls it Ra. And Moshe calls it Orla. Why? Kan efne matan Torah, kan ahare matan Torah. When Hashem spoke in the very beginning of time, when mankind was first behaving in a manner negative to the will of Hashem, he said, Ra, they're bad. But they didn't have Torah. There's no remedy. They start bad, and they're bad. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I don't think they're bad anymore. He's talking at the end of his life, after 40 years in the desert. He says, you know, there's a tikkun. There's a way to fix it. They can learn Torah. Torah is the remedy for the Yetzara. Barati Yetzara, barati lo Torah tevalin. I created Yetzara, says Hashem. I created Torah as a remedy, a potion. Samtem, v'samtem otam, samtam. It's a perfect medicine for the Yetzara. Moshe says, wait a minute. So a person has an opportunity to fix himself. When a person makes Brit Milah, you cut off the Orla, and from the Tum'ah that they have, they become Tahor. Wonderful. But he says, you know something? If you don't, if a person doesn't correct themselves, then it's worse. He's called Ma'us. Disgusting. He says, if a person has opportunity to use the Torah, to learn how to deal with the Yetzara, it's a person who's given by the doctor a remedy for what he has, and he refuses to take it. That person is horrible. That person is rotting away because he refuses to take the remedy. Moshe Rabbeinu calls that ma'us. In fact, in Sha'arei Teshuvah, Rabbeinu Yonah opens his book with a mashal. He says, every day a person doesn't make teshuvah, when they have an opportunity to make teshuvah and they don't, their onesh, their punishment increases. Why should that be? I did my sin, and so I didn't make teshuvah. Whatever, the, you know, you look in the books, grand larceny, murder, eating taref, arayot, what'd you do? You cheated in business? Put it in the book. If he makes teshuvah, it goes away. If he doesn't make teshuvah, give him the punishment. No, the Rabbeinu Yonah says it gets worse. Why does it get worse? He brings the mashal. He says there were prisoners in a prison. And they decided to pull a great escape. They're going to dig a tunnel to the other side of the fence and break out of the prison. So they dig the tunnel. It takes them weeks to dig a tunnel. And every night they cover it with the bed. One night the guy comes back. I broke through to the other side of the fence. All of a sudden all the guys jump in the hole. They're going, they're crawling to freedom. In the morning, the jailer comes to do his rounds. He sees the cell. Instead of 12 or 15 inmates, he sees one guy sitting on the edge of the bed. He unlocks the fence, the gate. He comes in. He sees the open hole. And he sees the guy sitting there. He takes a stick. Wah, wah, he starts hitting the guy. The guy, what do you want from me? I didn't do anything. They escaped. I'm here. I stayed. He says, you tipesh, you hamor. That's how you respect the king's punishment? The gate to escape is open in front of you. There's a doorway to freedom in front of you. And you don't go? What a chutzpah! You're insulting the king. And that's why I'm beating you. Borei Olam says, I gave you teshuvah. And you don't do it? Every day you sit in front of that open hole and you don't run, shows you don't respect me. You don't fear me. The punishment increases. A person has to know that there's a place called Teshuvah, an escape hatch that you have to take, and it comes through Torah. Barati yetzara, barati ro Torah tibalem. In fact, I want to shift a little bit, but I'm keeping to inyanim that are similar in a way and different in a way. In the Gemara, it talks about Matan Torah, in Gemara Shabbat. It says, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, B'sha'ah she'erad Moshe melifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Moshe went before HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get the Torah, Ba Satan v'amar lefana. The Satan came. He doesn't like good things happening. He's out to make trouble. Ribono shel Olam, Torah echani. Where's the Torah? Moshe just left with it. Satan comes. Where did the Torah go? It was up here in heaven from generations before the world was created. Now all of a sudden it's gone. Where'd it go? Amale netati ala aretz. He said, I gave it to the land, to the earth. Halach etzel aretz. The Satan went to the aretz, to the land. Amale Torah echani. He said, where's the Torah? Amale Elohim Gehevin Darka. God knows. Etzel Yam. He went to the sea. Amale Enimadi. It's not with me. Etzel Tehom, the depths. And B, it's not in me. Chazal Amal Vekosh Baruch Hu. He went back to Hashem. Would you send me on a wild goose chase? Hipasti Bechol Haaretz. Below Mitzatiya. I looked all over for the Torah. It's not there. Amale, lech etzel ben Amram. Go to the son of Amram. Halach etzel Moshe. The Satan went to Moshe. Amale, Torah, echani. Where's the Torah you took from Shemaim? Amale, v'chi ma'ani shenatan le'akadosh baruch hu ha-Torah. Who am I and what am I that you suspect me of being great enough to get the Torah from Hashem? Amale HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Badayat? Are you a liar? Amale Fanav, he said, Ribono Shel Olam Chemda genuza. You have a beautiful treasure hidden away in your vault. She'ata mishtasheh abo b'chol yom. You play with it every day. Ani achazik tova l'atzmi. You want me to say it's in my credit that it's here on earth? Amar le'akadosh baruch hu. Hashem answered him. Mi'at et ho'ir mi'at atzmecha tikare ashimcha. Since you belittled yourself and you made yourself small. Imagine, he went to Shamayim, he had a battle with the angels, he grabbed the Torah, he brought it to earth, and he said, it's not mine. Imagine how we might have answered. Hey, Satan, who are you? You know who I beat up already? I beat up all the angels and the Seraphim and the Ofanim and the Hayot HaKodesh, and I took the Torah and I brought it to earth. No, Moshe says, me? Who am I? Hashem says, you know, since you behave that way, I'm going to call it your Torah, Zichru Torat Moshe Abdi. I want you to always remember the Torah, Moshe, my servant. So the question now is, of course, first of all, interesting midrash. First thing is, what happened? The Satan became an Orthodox Jew all of a sudden? The Torah was in Shamayim for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. He wakes up, it's missing, he goes to Hashem. Where's the Torah? It's missing? As they say in Barapah, well, he became a Fruma. He became Frum. And secondly, why did Hashem tell him, go to the Aretz, that's where it is. Why did he send him directly to Moshe? That's who really took it. So those are the two questions of the many on this midrash. The answer is, this was a test for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Satan was coming to see if Moshe Rabbeinu would take credit. Would he be the one to say, I took it? And that's why it says, Baha Satan. You know, Satan is one angel. And he's a prosecutor. And he wanted to prosecute Moshe. He comes to test people as the Yetzer Hara. He prosecutes them as the Satan. And he punishes them as the Malach HaMavit. Gemara tells us it's all one angel. And that's his job. So he went to try and trap Moshe. But since Hashem doesn't set up His creations, He in fact tries to protect us, and He wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to withstand the test, He sent him on a wild goose chase. You know why? For Moshe to learn. Moshe in Ruach HaKodesh, with his power of prophecy, saw this scene of the Satan running around. And everyone said, not me. How could I be the one? It's not me. Here? Are you kidding? Me? Little old me, the ocean? Little old me, the mountains? Come on. You're talking about Torah. That's too great. Moshe understood from their answers. And he learned that no matter what he did, how he did it, or how great he was, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's really nobody. And therefore, he was learning the right answer. So that's why he was put. That's why the Satan came. He wasn't looking for the Torah because he was religious. He was looking for the Torah to use it as a trap, to trap Moshe. And why did Hashem not direct him directly? Because he wanted Moshe to learn from the others how to answer and pass the test. And since Moshe passed, the Torah is called Torat Moshe Avdi. Now, this shows the power of one test that a person passes on this planet. The Torah is named after him. You know what happened with Yehoshua? Now, far be it from me or anybody to talk about Yehoshua, the student of Moshe, Talmid Muvhak, a man who was so great, he was able to point to the sun and said, Shemesh be give on dom. And he prevented the sun from going. He commanded the sun not to set on Friday so he could finish a battle. The walls of Yericho fell. He led the people in the war to take over Eretz Yisrael. He went against the Atzat Meragelim, the greatest. But watch his test. Watch how strict Hashem is. In Masechet Timura, Daf Tet Zayin, B'Sha'ash Niftar Moshe Rabbeinu LeGan Eden. At the time Moshe died and went to Gan Eden, Amar Leil Yoshua, he said to Yoshua, Sha'al Mimeni Kol Sefekot Sheyesh Lecha. He said, ask me any doubts you might have about Halakha. He's offering to help his students. Amale, the bee, my teacher, did I ever leave you for a minute? So the answer of Yoshua, so to speak, is, I know it all. I stayed with you and I learned. Guess what happened? The minute he said, I never left you for a minute, Tashash Koho, he became weak. He forgot 300 laws. And 7 doubts entered him as to the Pesach Halacha. So 1,000 Halachot were spoiled because he said, did I leave you for a minute? And Bnei Israel were ready to kill him. And then the Midrash goes on to tell us how he was saved. So we see the opposite. When a person doesn't pass their test, that the result could be earth-shattering. One was Anav, the Torah is called after him. One had a slight answer showing self-confidence or ga'ava, and he forgot 1,000 laws and was almost killed by the people. Do you know Chizkiyahu HaMelech could have been Mashiach? The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, he could have been Mashiach. Amar Bi Abba, the Midrash tells us, Bar Kahana, Ze Echad Mishilosha Bnei Adam Shebedakan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is one of the three people that Hashem tested. He found a pot that people, meraglaim, you know what that is? That's number one, we call it. He found them to be a pot that holds urine. Cain was tested and he failed. Hezekiah, the great king. And Bil'am, the wicked prophet. A person passes, they're a giant. If they fail, even to that degree. In Avodah Zarah, tells us an amazing story about one of the Asara Harugei Malchut, one of the 10 great sages who were killed by the Roman government. The times of decrees right before the destruction. Rabbi Chanina ben Terajon asked Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, Ma ani lechaye haolam abba? We're talking about a sage that could do tehiyat emetim. He had the power to bring people back to life. He was Haruge Malchut, which means he was a Gilgul of one of the 10 tribes. Because they say they were killed as part of the tikkun. The Zohar tells us for the selling of Yosef. And he stood up and died al kiddush Hashem for the sake of Torah. And he's asking Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, am I going to Olam Abba or not? So you would think Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma might say, are you sketching me? Are you asking me such a silly question? Are you even, come on! But he doesn't answer that way. He says, Kiluma se ba'ali adecha? He says, what have you done lately? Tell me some of your good deeds. And he says, well, I had some money for Purim, and it got mixed up with money of Siddakah, and I was able to separate and give each thing to the right place. He says, you know something? If that's what you did, I wish I have a place in Olam Haba like yours. You're going to Olam Haba. Now that's very strange. That should be the basis of his Olam Haba. Didn't he know he's going to Olam Haba before that? And would that make such a difference? And if he didn't know about this incident of fixing the money of Tzedakah with the Purim money, would his answer be any different? But the answer is, Hashem is always testing. And every test counts. And if you're able to pass the tests, go to Olam Haba. And if not, who knows? A little bit of what the Mashgiach brings us, Alav HaShalom. Because I want to tell you something incredible with the little time we have left. Says Rav Nosson Vachvogel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hine shamati ish mipi ish. I heard accounts, man from man who actually heard and saw. Me'adam ne'eman, from a very reliable source. She'shama me'adam acher ne'eman, who heard from a second source. She'ra'ah ha'maseh, who was there. So it's the eyewitness told somebody very trustworthy who told another, and that's who he heard it from. This is the maaseh. There was once a man. He was a poor teacher. A rabbi, let's say. Milamed. And all his life, he was involved in what's called hachnasat kala. Beautiful mitzvah. You hear a couple preparing to get married. You hear that they don't have enough. So you participate in the act of raising tzedakah money to help provide the new couple with the basics that they need to get started with a bayit ne'eman b'Yisrael. What a beautiful mitzvah. Hachnasat kala. And this milamed, this simple ani, was always involved in this mitzvah. One day, people came to him, knowing that he was the source of these funds. And they said, Rebbe, we have a young bride. She doesn't have enough to get married. Can you help us? He said, the cupboard is bare. I don't have money in the fund. And I don't even know where to go to. Because I've gone to the same people so many times. I don't know if I could ask again. But the mitzvah was his favorite. And it burned inside him. And prompted him to say, you know, maybe I'll go to the Goy mayor and I'll ask him for some help. And who knows? Maybe Hashem will put in his mind the idea to help me. It was a long shot, but he figured it's such a good mitzvah, I'll give it a chance. So he went to the local ruler, the Paritz, who knew him. And although the man was very wicked, at that moment, he told the rabbi, how much do you need? He told him the amount. He says, I'll give it to you. On one condition. On the day I give you the money, I'm going to make a little party for the boys, my friends. And I want you to come and to dance in front of us, Arum, in your birthday suit. The simple Rebbe thought, how could I do such a thing? Expose myself to these wicked people. Have them laugh at me and make fun of me. What about my self-respect? He was about to turn him down when he said, but what about the mitzvah? There's a mitzvah here. Hachnasat kala. This couple, if I belittle myself a little publicly in front of these rishayim, this family will get started on the right foot and build a bayit ne'eman b'Yisrael. What a big mitzvah. He thought and he thought. He says, it pays to belittle myself in order to do the mitzvah. I'll do it, he said. Parit said, fine. Come on such and such a day. I'm inviting my friends. And when you do this, this will be your pay. And he came. And right outside the room where all these people were drinking and eating and making fun and joking, as goyim are wont to do, there was a little room to change. Basically unchange. And they called for him to come out. And he opened the door and he reached for the button of his shirt. He turned around and he went back in the room. He said, I can't do it. I can't belittle myself, even for this mitzvah. But then his Yetzer Tov came back and said, what is your honor worth in the face of this mitzvah? So he went, opened the door, put his hand on the button of his shirt, took a step out, and went back in. And he did this several times until he went in and he told the man who was there from the mayor's staff, go out and tell the mayor I can't do it. In those days, in this town called Novodvor, there was a Gilgul, a reincarnation, a spirit, a dibuk, like we talked about earlier. And they learned many things from this dibuk. They had communications with it. And they knew that this dibuk was a sadiq at one time. And they learned from him. Fact, it says in that town, that's where they learned that the table should be covered with a cloth throughout Shabbat. Because he complained that he's in this position, when they asked him, how come you're in this position, not be able to go to Olam Haba, you're not going to Gehinnom, you're just floating around, lost, which is the worst punishment. He said, well, one of the things I did wrong, I didn't cover my table with a cloth on Shabbat. And that day that Rebbe did not belittle himself to get the help needed by the young couple, the Gilgul went and screamed, the Milamed Nish'ah Milamed, Milamed Nish'ah Milamed. The teacher is still a teacher. The teacher is still a teacher. He's running all over town, running and screaming. The teacher is still a teacher. And nobody understood what this voice was screaming out. The teacher is still a teacher. Until the Gilgul revealed the incident to the people of the town. And he said something amazing. If this was not in the book of Rabbi Wachvogel, I wouldn't tell it to you. I had a hard time this afternoon deciding whether to tell you this or not. But he said something amazing. Put on your seatbelts. Fasten your goosebumps. He told them, when that man started to unbutton his shirt, in Shamayim they were in judgment. And they said, Bizchut davar kazeh. In this merit, shemivazeh atzmo, that he's belittling himself, called kach, so much so, he's willing to give up his own respect, bishvil mitzvah achnasat kala, for the sake of the mitzvah of achnasat kala, yavo Mashiach. The Mashiach will come if he takes off his shirt. And when he went back in the room, case was closed. And when he came out, to try again. They sat again to judge. And this went on several times, the Gilgul told the people. Until at the end, when he went in and told them, I can't do it, the case was closed and Mashiach didn't come. And the Gilgul screamed out, the teacher is still a teacher. The teacher is still a teacher. Why would Rav Nosson, a Mashkiach in Lakewood, sticking to straight Torah, mitzvot, halakha l'maaseh, day in, day out, bring such a story? He says, Mikan, from here we see, b'schut shel adam echad, how the merit of one person doing one mitzvah, omed b'nisayon, overcoming his personal test, has the power to bring Mashiach. Hashem gave us Torah, mitzvot, rabotai. He gave us a Torah full of 613 mitzvot. He gave us so many because He wants us to understand we should try and do a mitzvah b'shelemut. We should try and do a mitzvah completely, wholeheartedly, and perfectly. Harambam says, that's why Hashem gave us so many. Ratzal is a court of Israel. Lefichach evarem Torah mitzvot, says Arambam. How do you explain that? Why did you give me so many? I can make a mistake here. It's so hard to do all. No. He gave you that so you could do one. Perfectly. Bishlemut. And doing that, you can buy Olam Abba. If you could do one mitzvah perfectly. Rabbi Hananiah b'Akasha omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zekot Yisrael. Lefichach, Hirba Lehem, Torah Mitzvot. Because your heart may be drawn to Chesed, and his heart may be drawn to learning, and his heart may be drawn to something else. But there's all kinds of mitzvot you can work on. And it's not a matter of if I do one, so I did it. What does that mean? I want to explain that for a moment before we close. Remember the rabbi asked, Ma ani l'chaye olam abba? You think I'm going to go to olam abba? Chanina ben Teravion asked. And he was asked, what'd you do lately? I had this mitzvah and I did it well. That was his answer. Here's the biur. Devorah was a prophetess. Why was she picked to be the leader of the Jewish people? A prophetess and a woman to save them. The Midrash tells us when everybody was making pitilot, wicks, for the menorah and the candelabra in the Beit HaMikdash, she wanted to do it so well, she made them a little bit thicker and a little bit better so that they would give more light. She was into it. She did it better than anybody else. And since she was the one who wanted to give light, meaning wisdom, to the Jewish people, to the Beit HaMikdash, she became wise and a prophetess. What an amazing thing! A simple act, done well, brought her nivu'ah. And now I give you another, we're into weird stories. Now, can somebody get those out of here? A Tamil Chacham, in the days of Safat, about 550 years ago, when all the greats lived, Arizal, Maran Shulchan Aruch, Maharam Al-Sheikh, Abal Kabetz, who wrote Lecha Dodi, they all lived in Safat. Imagine what that little place was like at that time. And one Tamil Chacham, they say, might have been the Shem Midrash Shmuel, who wrote Perush on Perkei Avot. He came before the yeshiva and Arizal was speaking and Arizal stood up for this man. And Arizal never stood up for people. When the person left, Rav Chaim Vital, who's the Arizal student, ran after the man. And he asked the same question. What'd you do today? So he looked at him. What do you mean what I do today? The man didn't want to tell him. He said, listen, if you tell me, I won't reveal it, but you have to tell me what you did today. He said, well, I was going from place to place, going about my business, when I passed a house and I heard people whining and crying. I went in and I found a father and mother and all the children lying in their beds with their blankets up to their necks. And I said, what's the matter? And they said, robbers came and stole our clothes and we can't get out of bed. And in those days, of course, many people had one haluk, one beged, one garment that they wore all the time. And people who were better off had a garment for weekdays and a garment for Shabbat. And they kept the garment several years. They didn't wait to see what's in the magazine to change their style. And he saw this poor family. He didn't know what to do. He ran home. He got his Shabbat suit. He put on his Shabbat suit. He went back to the father. And he said, here's a matana present. Here's my clothes. And he figured in his mind, if I give the father my clothes, then the father will be able to go out of bed and he'll take care of the rest of the family. And that's what I did. And so this is my Shabbat suit that I'm wearing, and I gave him that. Wow. Beautiful act. Rav Chaim Vital went back to Arizal and he told him what happened. And Arizal said, when this man wanted to give his clothing to the father, the Satan came to stop him. The Satan came to stop him. And the spirit of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, the famous Tana, that the whole Mesilat Yesharim is written on the Baraita Pinchas Ben Yair. This Sadiq, who was involved always in Pidyon Shivuyim and Chesed, redeeming people who were captured in Chesed, his Neshama entered this person to help him overcome the Satan. He gave him his clothing, and the Neshama of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair left. But, according to the Zohar, explained the Arizal, that there's something called Ibur Neshama. There was a remnant of the Neshama of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair that stayed with the man a little while after. And when he came in the room, I saw the Neshama of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, so I stood up. The lesson from here is to do a mitzvah. A mitzvah perfectly, wholeheartedly, we need siyata d'shmaya. We also need help from heaven. We have to start. We have to do. We have to try. But we need help from heaven. A person should know that if a person goes into a room, closes the door, and works on himself, and says, I want to do this. If it's b'shem shamayim, if it's for the sake of heaven, Hashem will come and help him accomplish it. But know that when I said you have to do one mitzvah to get olam haba, somebody's not doing a good job with these guys. You're too gentle. I could do it. It's not that you get sachar for one mitzvah and you go to Olam Habba. The Saba Mekelm says, through this mitzvah that you do, you cash in on all the mitzvot that you did. So all the mitzvot that were not complete, not perfect, not 100% L'shem Shamayim, go into the account when you do one. Because every one of the 613 mitzvot, in every mitzvah, says the Graal of Vilna Gaon, every part of Torah, every piece of it has a piece of all the others. And every dibur of Torah has all of the Torah in it. Everything is connected. So now we were given Hirbalem Torah mitzvot, so many mitzvot on the day of Matan Torah. Says Rabbeinu Yerucham Alav Shalom, don't think la'atzmenu, we shouldn't think she'anu gedolim e'adam arishon, that we're greater than Adam, because he only had one mitzvah, and we have so many. Because it's explained in Chazal, says Rabbeinu Yerucham, Adam arishon haya domeh le'galgal ha'chama, he was as bright as the sun. But you know what it is? It's like when we feed a baby. When we feed a baby, we have to mash the food into little pieces so the baby could eat it. So the baby won't, chas v'shalom, choke on the food. And that's how it is with us. We're so far from Adam HaRishon. We're so far from Dor HaDe'ah that lived in Midbar that Hashem can't give us one big mitzvah that includes all the mitzvot and expect us to swallow it. So he gives us 613 pieces that are all interrelated and connected. And he tells us, go where the heart chafetz. Try your best to do mitzvot. Try to do them as best you can. And eventually, with the help of God, you'll find one that you could do. Maybe achnasat kala. Maybe. Maybe giving people chesed, clothing. Maybe something simple but a test at the moment that the satan wants to stop you. But if you're doing it l'shem shamayim, and if when you say berkat hamazon yiratzon, yuchol ma'asena l'shem shamayim, we want to do things for the sake of heaven, and we ask for the help of heaven, yiratzon will be able to do the mitzvot as they were intended to be done, so that we will be the ones to do that mitzvah, and each and every one of you is capable to do the mitzvah that could tip the scale and bring the Mashiach. Sidkenu b'mehirah b'yameinu. Amen.